Chapter 9. Air rushed past Sabrina's ears, and suddenly she felt her back tingling again. A moment later, she was hanging upside down, inches from the ground. She looked up to find her savior, only to find that her hero wasn't a person, but a long, furry tail sticking out of the back of her pants. It was wrapped around a beam in the tower and kept her swinging there like a monkey. Puck floated down to her, his wings flapping softly enough to allow him to hover.
"I bet you think this is hilarious. Look what you did to me with your stupid pranks. I have a tail," she raged.
Puck's face was trembling.
"I'm sorry."
"What?" Sabrina said blankly.
"I almost killed you. I'm sorry, Sabrina," he said, rubbing his eyes on his filthy hoodie.
He lifted her off the tower and set her on the ground.
"Since when do you care?" Sabrina said, still stunned by the boy's apology.
Prince Charming and Snow White rushed to join them while doing their best to direct the troops. Charming looked around his fort bitterly.
We have to retreat.
"Retreat? To where, Billy?" Snow asked. "We're on the very edge of the town. We can't retreat any farther than we already have."
"Through the mirror," Charming shouted. "Get everyone through my magic mirror."
Snow White shouted to her troops to retreat. Her words brought Mr. Canis, Red Riding Hood, and Daphne to the growing group that soon included Elvis, Granny Relda, Henry, and Veronica.
"You heard the prince. Everyone into the mirror," Henry said.
"But what about Big and Ugly?"
Daphne said, pointing to the dragon that still blocked their path into the cabin. The crowd of knights still surrounded it, but their assault seemed more of an annoyance to the beast than an attack. It hissed at them and swatted back with its long, spiky tail.
"There's no way they're getting past that," Granny Relda said.
Puck's wings appeared, and soon he was hovering a few feet off the ground.
"Does saving the day always have to fall on me?"
"I thought you weren't the hero type," Sabrina said.
"I'm not," Puck groaned. "But the whole lot of you are constantly in jeopardy."
"Which you tend to be the cause of," Sabrina said.
"Beside the point," Puck said.
"Puck, I forbid this," Granny said.
Puck ignored her command.
"Old lady, if I die, I'd like you to do one small thing for me.
I want you to build a 100-acre museum dedicated to my memory. Bronze my clothing and possessions. Have at least 300 marble statues erected of me in my most dashing poses. One of these statues should stand at least 100 feet tall and greet ships as they float down the Hudson River. One of the 14 wings of the museum should have an amusement park with the world's fastest roller coaster inside. None of these rides should be equipped with safety devices. You can license some of the space to fast food restaurants and ice cream parlors, but nothing should be healthy or nutritious. The gift shop should sell stuffed Puck dolls packed with broken glass and asbestos. There's a more detailed list in my room."
"Puck, no," Sabrina cried. "You don't have to do this." Puck rolled his eyes. "It appears I have to do a lot of things to keep you safe, Ugly."
He flashed a quick smile.
Sabrina blushed and felt like everyone was suddenly watching.
"What are you going to do against that monster?"
Puck took his little wooden sword from his waist.
"I have this, Grim. I'll be fine."
"You're going to get yourself killed," Daphne said angrily. "Don't disrespect the sword, Marshmallow," he said.
He darted toward the dragon and was soon jabbing at its ears with his weapon. The creature roared and he stuck it in the eye. It turned its massive body and exhaled a tiny blast of fire, but Puck easily flew out of its path.
"Come and get me," Puck taunted, and rocketed into the air.
The angry dragon did just that, soaring upward after its tiny, annoying prey. With the path clear, the family rushed into the cabin. Once inside, they helped the elderly Everafters through the mirror, and then the very young and the smaller animals. One by one, the frightened people stepped through to safety. Geppetto broke away to approach the Grimms.
"Have you seen my boy?" Geppetto said.
"I think I saw him heading into the magic mirror," Granny lied. "You should go look for him in the Hall of Wonders."
Geppetto thanked her and disappeared through the reflection. Granny sighed.
I couldn't tell him the truths. What is this thing that I hear outside?
Reggie said from his mirror. His dreadlocks shook nervously.
Dragons have attacked the fort, Sabrina explained.
Dragons? You have to get me out of here, Missy.
Prince Charming rushed into the cabin with Snow at his side.
Ms. White, I won't hear another word of this. Get through the portal now.
Snow stomped her foot.
Mr. Charming, as you may be aware, I am not 7 years old. I can take care of myself.
Charming threw up his hands in frustration.
Fine. This is a direct order from your commanding officer. Sergeant, you are to get through that portal at once. Prepare the Hall of Wonders for the refugees.
You won't be housing them in your hotel?
Veronica asked.
My hotel? These mongrels would destroy the place. The sheets are 500 thread count, he said.
Reggie looked bewildered and nervous. Hey, my friend, the Princess Beauty lent me to you with the belief that you could keep me out of trouble. I'm fragile, you know.
Can I take a magic mirror into a magic mirror? The prince asked. Reggie shrugged. Max appeared in his mirror. He scratched his head.
The instructions that came with me say that to do so might tear a hole in the dimensional fabric of the universe. We could all implode into a million tiny pieces.
Has it ever been tried before? Charming said impatiently.
No, sir, Max said.
Charming took Reggie off the wall and shoved the mirror into Henry's hands.
Hank, take Reggie inside when you go.
Sabrina's father tried to argue, but Charming had already bolted out of the cabin and back into the fray. Sabrina could hear the popping and snapping of burning timber. From the irritated sensation in her nose and eyes, it was clear the fort was burning. A steady stream of refugees flooded into the cabin and through the portal. Sabrina's father and mother did their best to hurry them through as a bottleneck of panicked ever-afters clogged the door to the cabin. One after another disappeared through the reflection until the only people left behind were King Arthur's knights, a few brave princes, and most of the merry men.
"Where's Jake?" Henry cried.
Ms. White stepped forward.
"I saw him at Briar's grave. He refuses to leave."
Henry looked at his mother. Granny Relda was near tears. Then he dashed out of the cabin. Before anyone could stop her, Sabrina raced after him. Amid firebombs exploding everywhere, they zigzagged across the courtyard. One explosion was so close it knocked Sabrina off her feet and rattled her brain. She staggered upright and resumed the chase. She found her father standing with her uncle over the grave.
"You have to come, Jake," Henry said.
"I won't leave her,"
Uncle Jake cried.
"You have to. Do you want to join her?"
"Maybe I do, Hank. Maybe it's time to stop running. That's what we're all good at anyway. We all run away. The girls do it. You did it. I did it. Maybe it's time to stay put."
"Jake, this isn't what she would want," Henry said.
"What would you know about what she would want?" Jake asked. "You didn't love her. You didn't hold her in your arms and feel like you just got your happily ever after. You don't know anything about her."
"I knew her,"
Sabrina shouted over the noise.
"She would not want you to stay here and die. She was a fighter. She would want you to fight, too."
Uncle Jake looked at Sabrina. His face was thin and tired. Tears escaped his eyes.
"I can't go. I can't run anymore."
"We're not running anymore, Jake," Henry said. "I'm here. Mom's here. The girls are here. We're all here. We're not going to run. We're going to fight. But right now, we have to go."
Uncle Jake looked down at the grave. He leaned down and snatched a rosebud from the magical bush that grew there and put it into one of his many pockets, right over his heart. The three of them raced back to Charming's cabin, counting the lucky stars that kept them alive during all the chaos. They arrived just in time to see Mr. Canis and Red Riding Hood stepping into Charming's mirror. Henry picked up Reggie and hoisted him onto his back, and together the rest of the family stepped through. It was clear that the universe wasn't in jeopardy when they reached the other side.
"Are we true, man?"
Reggie said as he looked around the lobby of the Hotel of Wonders.
Hey, nice digs. Thanks, Max said. He was busy placing fresh Hawaiian leis around everyone's necks as they milled around the massive lobby. Have you seen the boss? As if on cue, Charming tumbled through the portal. He was followed by a dozen fully armored knights. Many fell to the floor with a clang and begged for help, righting themselves.
Get into the Hall of Wonders now! Charming shouted as he pointed to the elevator door that acted as its portal.
Why? What's the matter, William? We're safe in here, aren't we?
Granny asked.
Not at all,
Charming shouted, nudging Granny toward the portal. They heard a massive crash. Sabrina turned to the portal and saw Sheriff Nottingham with a heavy sledgehammer in hand. He swung it as hard as he could, and it slammed into the reflective surface on the other side.
He's trying to break this mirror, Charming said.
Uh-oh, Daphne said. Didn't you say that when a mirror is broken, everything inside it is cut to ribbons?
Sabrina asked.
You have a good memory, kid, the prince said. By the way, your tail is showing.
Sabrina blushed and shoved her long tail into the back of her pants.
Boss, what can I do? Max asked.
There's a box in room 19. It's in the bureau and very important. Can you fetch it for me?
In a jiffy.
Max took off for the elevators. Meanwhile, Charming was literally shoving people through the portal into the hall.
This is a little rude, pal,
Daphne said, as he pushed her toward the magical doorway.
Pardon me if I try to save your life.
Soon, Sabrina found herself sprawled out on the floor of the Room of Reflections, where the rest of her family was waiting. Elvis flew through and skidded across the floor, then turned and barked angrily at the portal. Henry grabbed him by the collar and ushered everyone out of the portal's path so that others could enter as well. As they moved, Ms. White came through, nearly falling to her knees.
He shoved me, she cried angrily.
Who else is left?
Robin Hood asked. He had a terrible burn on his right arm. His wife was by his side, looking distraught. Sabrina poked her head into the portal and saw Charming standing alone by the elevators.
What are you waiting for?
It's none of your concern, the prince said. Go help the others get settled.
She saw Nottingham charge through the other portal with his serpentine dagger in hand. He was met with a haymaker punch from the prince that sent the villain sprawling backward the way he came. A massive cyclops took his place at the mirror, pounding on the reflection with a concrete hammer. His blow caused a tiny crack in the reflection.
It's happening! She cried to the prince.
Charming scowled and ran toward Sabrina. She ducked inside as he took a flying leap, knocking her to the floor. Without offering to help, he scampered to his feet and turned back to the magical hole.
Max! He shouted as he wrung his hands. Come on, Max!
It was then that Max appeared. Charming slipped his hand through the portal and took from Max a small black box, just large enough to hold a ring, or perhaps a small necklace.
Here you go, boss.
Hurry, Max, Daphne said. You need to step through now.
Max flashed a melancholy smile.
I'm sorry, little one, but I'm afraid that's not part of my design. I can't leave my mirror.
But if you don't, you'll die,
Sabrina cried, as a ripple of cracks rolled across the glass, distorting Max's face.
It was fun, boss,
Max said to the prince. Charming nodded. Indeed, it was. A fiery red handprint appeared at the center of the cracked mirror. It was identical to the one Sabrina had seen the Wicked Queen create when she had threatened to fix mirror not long ago. It burned bright, and then the reflection shattered. A million tiny pieces spilled to the floor. The Hotel of Wonders was gone forever. Its guardian, the ever-smiling Max, went with it. Charming stared at the broken shards for a moment as he stuffed the black box into his suit jacket. His jaw was clenched, hard and cold.
I'm sorry, Sabrina said to him. I know Max was a friend.
Charming shook his head. Max was not real. I can't mourn him.
But...
Charming walked away. Moments later, she could hear him barking orders to his soldiers out in the hall, as if nothing at all had happened.
"What about Puck?"
Sabrina asked, but no one answered. The crowd was on the verge of a panic. Many were wrapped in bandages Nurse Spratt had hurriedly applied. But there were too many injuries, even with Granny and Veronica's combined help. Worse still, it was clear their numbers had dwindled again. More than a few had perished in the dragon attack. Charming stepped forward. He raised his hand for attention, and the crowd turned to him.
"Today we suffered," he shouted. "But such is the nature of war. Battles are won, battles are lost. But for the sake of those who fail, we fight on. I know that as you look around you, a feeling of discouragement wells up in your throats. But you need to spit that feeling out on the floor. Stomp on it with your feet, smash it into dust. It has no place here. You will fight again, and I will lead you, and we will show the master and his hand how discouragement feels."
The crowd did not look convinced.
"We've heard enough of your pep talks, Charming," Mr. Borman cried. "People died today, and a lot of pretty words aren't going to make us feel better about it."
"This was foolish," Little Bo Peep said. "We cannot beat the Scarlet Hand."
Charming tried to speak, but he was booed into silence. It was then that Mr. Seven stepped forward.
"We are already beating them,"
the little man shouted over the crowd. A grin came to his face.
"You want to know why those dragons were sent after us? The master is furious that we beat his army at the marina. He rages because we cut off his supply line, and we did it all while a spy told him our every move."
"A spy?" Rapunzel cried.
"Yes. We were all under surveillance by a member of the Scarlet Hand, and we still managed to fool the master. He sent dragons after us because we are a threat, and he knows it. You see, people, we scared him. Listen to what I'm saying. We scared the master. Even though we're outnumbered, we struck a fear so powerful, he sent his most vicious weapons to wipe us out, and they couldn't get the job done. He took some of our friends, but we took out four dragons, not to mention the two Jake Grimm killed earlier. Plus, I'm told Sabrina Grimm wiped out 500 of his soldiers, all by herself. That is astounding, people. We did what the hand thought was impossible."
The crowd roared. Many danced and sang. Others hugged and kissed one another. Sabrina was stunned. Even her sister stood with her mouth open in surprise.
"Perhaps Mr. Seven is the charming one," Granny Relda said.
"So, friends, are you going to quit now when we have the master on the run?"
Mr. Seven shouted. The crowd shouted and shook swords, wands, and fists in the air. They snatched Seven off the ground and marched him around on their shoulders. As they watched the celebration, Charming approached the Grimms.
"I'm told Geppetto's boy was responsible for the sabotage."
"Unfortunately, yes," Granny replied. "Worse yet, he escaped. The last we saw of him was right before the attack. I fear he may have been killed by the dragons."
Charming looked around at the huge impromptu celebration. "Or he's hiding in this crowd. I'll spread the word to the others. We'll catch him eventually." Henry stepped forward. "You've got a bigger problem than that, Prince. Bringing the troops inside the Hall of Wonders might have saved their lives, but I'm afraid we're all stuck in here unless you're planning on rushing through one of those other mirrors we saw in the Room of Reflections."
"I wouldn't recommend it. There's no telling where they might lead or who might be on the other side,"
Granny Relda added.
"Not at all," the prince replied. "I was thinking we'd march right out your front door."
Henry shook his head.
"If you can fight your way out, you're free to try. Last time we checked, the house was surrounded by the hand."
"I'd be surprised if there were any of them still outside," Snow White interrupted. "I think the master threw everything he had at us today."
Nurse Spratt appeared. "Excuse me, I don't mean to interrupt, but I was hoping I could borrow Veronica and the girls."
"Of course," Veronica said, then turned to Henry. "We'll be right back. Nurse Spratt needs some help with the wounded. Will you save me a dance?"
Henry kissed Veronica. I'll save them all for you. Veronica and the girls followed the nurse into the crowd and far from the ears of the rest of their family.
I'm so excited, Daphne said.
I am too, Veronica said,
then looked down at her belly.
Please be okay.
Once they were safely out of earshot, Spratt turned to the group and took Veronica's hands in her own. Her expression was serious and troubled.
I have to tell you something.
It's the baby, Veronica said, finishing the nurse's sentence. Her voice trembled as she slid into a seat.
You are not pregnant, Nurse Spratt replied, leaning down to take Veronica's hands. Any more?
A tear rolled down Veronica's cheek, and she looked to Sabrina and then Daphne.
I'm sorry, girls.
The girls hugged her tightly, as if squeezing her might prevent the tears from escaping.
Oh, Veronica, you didn't lose the baby, the nurse said. This is so confusing. That's why I brought in some help.
Morgan Le Fay approached.
Sorry I'm late. I've had to turn down a dozen marriage proposals in the last 15 minutes. I got here as quickly as I could.
Nurse Spratt nodded.
Did you bring your magic?
Everywhere I go,
the witch said, waving her hands in the air. A blue mist materialized and swirled around Veronica's belly.
Mrs. Spratt, what is this all about?
Veronica said, startled.
Just a moment, the nurse replied.
She watched the vapor as it changed colors from blue to red. Then it vanished into the breeze.
Just as you suspected, Morgan Le Fay said. Something magical happened.
Can someone let us in on this big secret?
Sabrina snapped. She was tired and impatient.
Veronica, I have a theory, but it's not good news if I'm right, Nurse Spratt said.
Just tell me, Sabrina's mom said, grabbing the armrest of the chair as if to brace herself.
You were pregnant. The baby was healthy, but when you and your husband were placed under the spell, the baby was not affected. It continued to grow at a normal pace.
I'm not sure what you're telling me, Veronica said.
Veronica, I found something unusual in your blood sample, a peculiar compound I'd never seen before, but it was clear it was magical, so I called in Ms. Le Fay for consultation. She's got centuries of experience with herbs and roots.
What we found is called Donega root, Morgan said. It was used back in the old country by women who were expecting difficult births. You know, human giant infants, things like that. The frog prince and his wife used it when they had their daughter, as did Beauty and the Beast, and Mrs. Arachnid and the spider. It helps the impossible birth occur.
And this Nugener root was in my bloodstream?
Donega root, Nurse Spratt said. And yes, I found a large sample of it in your blood.
Daphne stepped forward.
My mom wasn't having an impossible birth. She was having a normal baby.
A normal baby, for sure, Spratt explained. But not a normal birth. Someone used this on your mother when she was asleep. See, when the baby was born, your mother would have had to do certain things she couldn't do if she was unconscious. Whoever gave you the root gave it to you while you were unconscious, and we think...
They took my baby!
Veronica cried. Her voice shook with panic.
Is that possible?
Daphne asked.
Who would do this? Sabrina said.
But all of a sudden, she knew. She had seen a crib in Red Riding Hood's insane asylum. She had heard a child crying in the halls and seen a baby in Red's hands. The little lunatic had called him her baby brother. The former Wizard of Oz had said her parents were giving birth to a new future. That little boy she had seen with Red, he was her brother, and the master had him. There had been hints and clues all along, and she had never stopped to notice. Why had the master taken the baby, and where was he now?
There was only one person that knew.
Where's Red Riding Hood?
With Mr. Canis, I think, Veronica said.
Sabrina ran back the way they had come and into the crowd of cheering ever-afters.
Let me by, she shouted. I need to get past.
Finally, she spotted Mr. Canis and Red Riding Hood within the crowd. The little girl had a smile on her face and was enjoying the festivities. Sabrina ran to her and snatched her cloak in her hands. "Where is the baby?" she demanded.
"What baby?"
Red said feebly. "Don't play dumb with me. I know you had him," Sabrina said. She had never been so angry and afraid in her whole life.
"I don't remember any baby,"
Red shouted.
"Sabrina, leave her be,"
Mr. Canis demanded, but she ignored him.
"He's somewhere in that head of yours," Sabrina said. "You have to remember."
Red pulled away.
"I'm trying."
"You're not."
"Sabrina, that's enough," Canis shouted.
Sabrina reeled on him.
"You make her remember, right now. She and the master stole my baby brother. She knows where he is."
"What are you talking about?"
Mr. Canis said, as Veronica and Daphne raced to join them.
"Sabrina, this is not the way," Veronica said. "She knows where he is," Sabrina repeated. "I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I wasn't myself,"
Red said, through streaming tears. Then there was a moment of clarity in her eyes, as if something were rising to the surface.
"You remember something?"
Sabrina said.
"A crib in a room filled with holes on the walls,"
Red said.
"Little holes that let him see the whole world. Little holes that let him see you wherever you are. He keeps the baby there and watches."
"What does he look like, Red? Who is he?" Red Riding Hood looked into Sabrina's eyes. Sabrina could see the struggle on the child's face. There was something important, but Red could not get at it. She looked away. Veronica rushed to Sabrina and scooped her into her arms. They held each other and cried. Daphne joined them. There was nothing else to do.